Blog.
Welcome to a live Butterfly Evolution show. We are back on air, and I want to just first apologize because we've not been on, or I've not been on for, I believe, at least two sessions or two nights. So I just want to apologize and thank all of you for just tuning back in. I know it's always kind of difficult once you go off air and start back up, but just things happening and just trying to be more prepared for each show. So I don't want to come on unless I'm truly prepared and the time permits. So that will occasionally happen. And again, I just thank you all for tuning back in tonight. As we move forward, tonight's topic, what I decided to do in the midst of preparing for this is I was going to try to do one show for this entire conversation, but that is just not going to happen. There's too much to cover. There's so much that I personally want to get out of this particular topic, and I would like for you all to get as much out of it as well. So without further ado, I want to just move forward. Something is happening here. Let me turn that back on. Just a second, you guys. Okay. I think I hit the wrong button there starting the music again, so I apologize for that. Moving forward, I want to remind you all that if you're listening online, you can submit your question or comment by way of chat. The chat line is open. It's currently open now. If you are listening online and you do want to make a comment or have a question, you do have to be a registered follower in order to send me your question or comment. So if you're not a registered follower, don't worry about trying to register tonight. You can just call in using the call-in number, which is the 818-691-7406. Again, 818-691-7406. And that number should be posted on the page that you're listening from. But again, it's 818-691-7406. And for those of you who are listening by phone, of course, you do know all you have to do is select the number 1, and that notifies me that you do have a question or a comment, and I'll pull you in as soon as time permits for you to post your question or comment. For you that were able to take a look at the show description of the topic tonight, you have some understanding of where I'd like to go with this. Many of you do not have access and are not able to log on and read the description for the topic. But basically, what tonight's topic is, it's what's really going on. And this has come about for many reasons. One, in my own life, I've just really taken a step back, and I'm noticing the things that are going on in my life, the people that are in my life, things that I'm allowing to go on in my life as well. So as I thought about the things that I'm going through, I also, because many people reach out to me for whatever reason, and I just thank God, because apparently that's something that he's given me, because so many people reach out to me with questions, with their issues, with their concerns, and so forth. So I started to get a bit overwhelmed because of the things that I was going through, am going through, and the things that they're going through. I think I let it get the best of me, which we sometimes do. In addition to that, I realized that I was off course, so to speak, that I had let many things get before God, many things and many people. And, of course, that sometimes happens, and it's probably happening in many of your lives that are listening tonight. If you would really be honest, you probably say, you know, yes, I say that God is first in my life, but is he really? And if he is, how important are the things that the Word instructs us to do? How important are they in our lives? And one way in determining, you know, it's easy to say, oh, yeah, they're very important. But things that are important, and I'm speaking for myself as well, the things that are important to a person are important to you in your life. Just as if you like football, then you're going to watch football. If a person is important to you, then you're going to want to spend time with that person. You're going to want to talk to that person. It is no different with God. And I think that we oftentimes we're able to put God aside because we realize God's love for us. Deep down, I think we just know that God will always be there. And that is so true. However, just for the simple fact that he will always be there, it doesn't mean that we can casually or should casually sit God aside and those things that he instructs us to do, because he is there and he instructs us to do those things so that we can grow spiritually, so that we can become more Christ-like and our lives can be more in line with him and have more purpose. So basically what tonight's topic is basically about, or what I would like for everyone to get out of this, is bringing God's peace, bringing God's perspective and his purpose in your life. And I'm going to say that again, because as I researched for this topic and as I read that, it really blessed my spirit and where I am in my life. And again, the objective of tonight's show, or this topic, which we will talk about more next week, but it'll be covering different areas, but it's about bringing God's peace, God's perspective, and his purpose in our lives. And I'm going to say our, because I need that as well. I'm at a place where, again, I realize that a lot of the things, I guess I wouldn't say are happening because I got off course, but I'm not dealing with them as well as I could be or have been previously because I'm off course. And that goes back to bringing God's peace, perspective, and purpose in your life. And we all know when you're off course or when things just are not in sync, nothing is. Nothing seems to ever go right. Even with today, it just seems like so many things, well, not just today, just starting from this weekend, one thing after another has occurred. So much so until today, all I could do is just stop and laugh. It really became humorous because it's obvious, or it became obvious to me that either I'm in a good place now because I feel like I'm under attack in some ways, and it just, again, it just became funny to me. I was like, okay, God, okay, you know, because again, so many things happened even on through today. But as we go through this, remember, this topic is about bringing God's peace, perspective, and his purpose in our lives. Basically, as I mentioned earlier, you know, there's been some things that I've been going through myself and friends, my inner circle, as well. And those things have just put me in a place to, I really just step back and wanted to focus on my life as well as my friends, my family's lives. And it brought me to this topic, what's really going on. And in review of this topic and thinking about this topic, I started to think about a few things that I think play a very integral part in what's really going on with us and in this world today. A couple of those things, and again, I had planned to cover all of these things, but I just think in order to really get what we need to get out of this, that I should break them into sections. So all of those items are prayer, faith, family and love, relationship, and fear. What I'm going to start with tonight is prayer and faith. And I listed those in the order of significance to me. However, your list may be different. Your list may be different in order, and it may be different just as the overall list, putting it into perspective, create your own list. Again, that's what it's about, your purpose, your peace, your perspective, so to speak. So, again, your list may be totally, totally different from what I chose. However, I do think prayer and faith should be included in every list. Personally, I think all of them are really good starter points, but prayer and faith is what we're going to start with tonight because, again, I think in order that those things are very, very significant in our lives. So, again, create your own list, but tonight, just as we go through this topic tonight, think about prayer. Think about your faith. After the show, take some time. I'm going to, if you have not already, have a piece of paper and a pencil so that you can write. I'm going to give a few things out that for those of you who want to take this a bit further, some things that you can go out, listen to, and hopefully gain some information from in order to help you move forward. Because, again, I think many of us are just going through life. I guess a good way to put it is I collect clowns and have for a while now. And I remember I have a set that they're just beautiful as in dress, just absolutely beautiful. But if you really, really look at their faces, they seem so sad. Their eyes hold so much pain. And I think many of us are walking through life that way. We're walking through life trying to portray this image of perfection, this image of total peace, total happiness, but at the end of the hour, at the end of the night, when it's just you, what are you getting from you? What things are you wanting or wishing were different? Those are the things that you need to make different and find a way to make them different. I think we need to take off our mask, so to speak, and inform people when we're hurting, when we're going through it, and not always be the person that people come to. I think so often we get caught up in being that person for everybody else until, you know, we just move forward quickly through our own issues and our own concerns trying to be there for other people. So as we go through this, think about your prayer life. Think about what faith you have in God, in coming through or coming out of certain situations and circumstances. Think about those things because I think it's very important to be honest with yourself and determine what prayer is to you. How often do you pray or do you not pray? Some people feel that, you know, I don't need to pray. God knows my heart. He knows my desires. He knows my wants. He knows my needs. He knows what's best for me. So I've come across some people that just feel the need or feel the need not to pray, so to speak. And I want to hear from you all. How do you feel about that? What's your take on prayer? How often do you pray? I found it interesting, and I shared this, I don't know in how many shows, but I think I've shared it a couple of times where there came a time where myself and a friend were looking for a place, a church that we could pray early morning hours. We wanted to start our day out with prayer, and this was several years ago. We called around many churches. I can't remember how many, but we called around and just could not find a church that had early morning prayer. Thankfully, we came across a church, and I'll go ahead and put it out. I hope that's okay, but New Direction. New Direction was at that time having 6 a.m. prayer, and it wasn't that far from where I lived at the time. So she and I, we would get up, get dressed. We both had kids, of course, and so we had to get up, get dressed, and go to prayer for 6 o'clock and do our one-hour prayer, come back, pick our kids up, drop them off at school, and so we kind of shared the responsibility of helping each other get there. But life was truly, truly different for me. I remember it being probably one of the most peaceful times in my life. Everything seemed to just be different. People seemed to be different. Life seemed to be different. I think that's the time when my finances started to just, just be beyond even, I remember thinking, why do I have all this money left over? I mean, really, it just seemed as if blessings just were pouring. So we eventually, the prayer service stopped, and it stopped mainly because there were only four people at the time going to this prayer service. Two of them were members of that church, and myself and my friend. So basically, I think it just became to the church more trouble than it was really worth. Now, although this church had a huge congregation, there were not people were not showing up for prayer. And I understand 6 a.m. is quite a sacrifice, but I think God is looking for people that will make sacrifices. And as I go further, I'm going to put more emphasis on God says my house should be called a house of prayer. I'm going to put emphasis on Jesus prayed. So certainly that should be something we do, something that should be very important in a daily process. That's my opinion, a part of our daily life, our daily process. And thinking about that again, ask, did you pray today? As you listen to this show and you hear about prayer and you think about God, did you pray today? Do you wake up in prayer? Do you go to bed in prayer? As a child, I remember you didn't go to bed without saying your prayers. It was instilled in us. It became part of our lives that you kneel before God and you prayed before going to bed. Think about your food, eating. As a child, it was part of life to pray before eating. Nowadays, some kids don't know the first thing about praying before going to bed. Certainly don't pray before meals, and any of that. And I think a lot of it is because we're not teaching them, of course, but prayer has also become secondary in our churches. It is very difficult even to this day, take away 6 o'clock a.m., even to this day to find a church that does weekly prayer service. I remember that was part of my grandmother's life. It was, they didn't miss church. They didn't miss prayer. They did not miss Bible study. And as I went through this topic, I also thought about my grandmothers and their lives and just at being at a time where, although I grew up with you know, basically four of my grandmothers, actually. One I didn't see as often, but three, meaning my great-grandmother and my two grandmothers, I got to see and spend quite a bit of time with. But I remember that they're all different, of course, in personalities and so forth. But I remember thinking that one of my grandmothers, I literally remember looking at her during one of my uncle's funerals, which was her child. I remember explicitly sitting there thinking she cannot be real, that here I knew this was her son, but instead of crying, I saw her praying to God. And I remember that moment so candidly. I just remember thinking, how could you pray when your son is dead? And I was very young. But of course, as I grew older, and established a relationship with Christ myself, I began to understand that. But I can honestly tell you that I just recently got to that point where I can have peace even in the midst of things not being so right. And that even that peace was challenged this past month or two, maybe. I've been challenged with just even having that peace and that understanding of God's perspective of my life and his will for my life and other things. So, but thank God I'm back on track, and I can tell you it's been through prayer, it's been through meditating on God's word, and really getting to a point where I realized how, in spite of everything we do, we have to continue to do the things that are right, which is make time for God, put God first. And that's a question that we all need to really answer is God first in our lives? I had the opportunity to spend some time with a relative, and we were talking about this weekend about, you know, it's easy to say that, yes, God is so important to me. I am doing this, I'm doing that, but it really just boils down to the nitty-gritty. And is he important to your life? And if he is, if God is, then how does it show in your life? Are you praying? What's in your heart? What are you holding on into your heart? And that's another thing, researching and really dissecting where you are in life and who you are in this world will make you answer some really deep questions. And if we're all honest with ourselves, the best thing to do is to pose those questions to yourself and try to really, really determine where you are spiritually and how God fits into your life. The lines are open. I do have a caller, so I have some more to share, but I want to get as much response in on this as we possibly can. So I'm going to go ahead and take the caller. Before doing that, I want to remind you that the last show we did, I think it was on the Trayvon Martin story, and we went through that show that night, and then we had a caller that called in, and I think she put things into perspective. That caller was Dominique. I believe that was her first time listening. I think she was a first-time caller. And as she mentioned, she said, I've heard many things, many possible solutions, but no one has mentioned prayer. And I think that was so profound because, yes, we do need to work. We do need to get out and discuss this and talk about it and come up with solutions that work for everyone. But we still do need to call on our Father for every situation. So I just wanted to take you back to that moment because I think everybody was blessed by her calling in saying that, you know, what about prayer? You know, we need that certainly with our young people and what's going on in their lives. And I think a lot of that is because what's going on in our lives as adults. We just don't have that nurturing spirit. I feel personally that we don't have that nurturing spirit and that we're not taking enough time out and investing what we should be investing into our children. And to add to that, if we're not doing that and we're not praying, then are we getting what we should be getting? Because as I look at life and say, what's really going on? Again, it made me think, would all these things be going on if we were a praying people, a praying nation, a praying church? Now I feel like church is kind of about, let's get you in and let's get you out. And I think we feel like that sometimes. Let's get in and let's get out. In most cases, so the next group can come in. I mean, I literally find myself just being despised when I see the big clock up saying, okay, we have to do this in 60 minutes. Or what if God says, well, I want you there for 120 minutes? Whereas coming back to that day and time of my growing up, boy, we stayed in church all day. And then we were back Sunday night. So you had little time to go and do whatever on Sunday. I've mentioned before that I remember telling my grandmother one Sunday that I was sick, and I wasn't. And she said, well, you're going to be sick for the rest of the week because if you don't go to church, you don't go anywhere. Of course, I chose church that day because I wanted to go during the week, but it wasn't an option. Nowadays, it is an option for kids to do whatever. A couple of Sundays ago, I was sitting next to a young man, and he was sleeping, and I felt like I was probably 80 years old because I just tried so hard not to say anything, but I just couldn't. I had to wake him up and say, okay, what did you do last night? What time did you go to bed? And whatever you did and whatever time you went to bed, it cannot affect what you get today. You cannot sleep in church. And he was very respectful and, you know, got up, woke himself up and tuned in. But, you know, I had to really just say, you know, do I do this? And if I do, you know, you have to wonder now what will parents say if they go and tell. But it just got to a point where I could not take it. I could just not could just sit there. So I want to go ahead and take our caller. And the way that, I did not say this, but the way that I will identify you is your first, your area code, basically, and I'll give the last four digits of your number. And so this is a 770 area code with the last four of 8021. And caller, you're on air with us. Caller, this is 770 with the last four of 8021. Okay, maybe they just selected the button in error, but we're going to move right along. Remember that the chat line is open. I want to talk more about, again, we're going to talk on prayer and faith tonight, but as I researched this topic and as I said that what's really going on, I see so much going on, so sickness, death. It used to be that for the most part, our younger people were still with us. But now you're having people dying, you know, really early in life, as probably more than our elderly people. I see depression. That is really big. People are just really, really hurting and really, really depressed. Even our young people, you would think that they would not be going through as much as they are, but they are really, really going through it, and they have been exposed to some difficult situations. Divorce and separation, can't say enough about that. That just continues to happen almost, to me, seemingly on a daily basis. That includes our family structure. And if you remember, one of the core things that I had in this is family. So that is certainly with divorce and separation, that certainly does break down the family structure. Fear. People seem to be in a state of fear, whether they admit it or not. A lot of people are just afraid, even in their situation. They're afraid to do anything, afraid to go left, afraid to go right. They don't know which way to go. Going back to God's peace, perspective, and purpose in your life, that will eliminate fear in your life or help you to deal with it better. But a lot of us, we are not there. We don't have that peace. We don't have God's perspective of our life, and we're certainly not operating in our purpose. So some other things, commitment woes is what I'd like to call them, but no one seems to want to truly, truly commit. I would say committing in a way of how God sees commitment, so to speak. And that's in relationship, certainly in pursuing our dreams and our purposes, because it takes work. It takes work to commit to anything. It goes back to divorce and separation, marriage, and so to speak. If more people were committed to the love for their marriage or to their marriage rather than the feeling and this things have to be perfect all the time, if they just really focused on, I am committed to my wife, my children, my family, and I know that we can find common ground and work through this. If everybody felt that way, then you'd have two committed people in a marriage that are willing to put self aside sometime and be the person that gives a little bit more when needed. But everybody is so self-centered, seemingly to me, in wanting to be the one to always rise to the top and wanting everything to be perfect. Another thing, love turning into pure hate, that goes right back to divorce and separation. I'm amazed, and I have just really been thinking of how such a love can turn into such hatred. I had the opportunity to go to a wedding this weekend, and it was just absolutely beautiful to see two people that seem to be so in love and that have a desire to work together for a lifetime. And I must say, if I'm honest with myself, I found myself thinking, will this last? Will all this happiness last? And at the same time, I find myself saying, it should. Why shouldn't it last? Again, if you have two people that are willing to commit. But if we're honest with ourselves, and I'm being honest, I found myself thinking, boy, how wonderful this would be if it would last. And I have all the hopes and dreams that it will last. but I still was really taken by my feelings. And it's just dealing, just probably because of dealing with so much, hearing so many of my friends contemplate divorce, one, people that I thought would be together forever. I've recently learned that, you know, they're contemplating divorce. And it's heartbreaking to see your friends, because they both become your friends. And so now you're in between both of them. So, but I found myself remembering a time when they were so in love. And you think, where did all that go? And how does it get there? How do you love someone so much at one time but not have anything for them now? It's scary, you know, for anybody who's looking and wanting to move forward in life with a mate. Resentment towards one another is another one. That's with friendship. That's in families. Lack of self-esteem or lack of self-love is something that is going around. When you say what's really going on, I'm really amazed by the number of people that just have so little liking for themselves, and they're so hard on themselves about where they came from, where they're going, what they're doing. I should be here now. I should have this. I should have did this. I should not have did this. They're missing the moment. They're missing the day. And again, getting back to prayer, prayer will help bring all of that, remember the word, into perspective. It will allow God's purpose for your life to take over those items so that you can move forward with the peace of God. And remember I said this tonight's objective in this show or the next several shows is to bring God's peace, his perspective, and his purpose in your life. Prayer, putting God first and praying and the faith, which we're going to talk about as well, will do that. A couple of other things that I am recognizing that people are going through. I've already mentioned fear. I have it mentioned here again. But many people are just unhappy, angry. It just seems like, you know, we're in this tunnel where no one's moving forward or being honest about moving forward. There's so much judgment towards one another and trying to say what you wouldn't do and what you would do for someone else's life. There's so much thought put into someone else's life. I wouldn't do this and I would do this. There's always going to be something that you put up with that I won't because we're different and vice versa. Drama. People just seem to be addicted to drama. I mean, this goes from young to old. I am just in awe. I'm so puzzled by the drama that I see in people's lives that they create, that they bring to the table. And this is young and this is old as well. Suicide is up and going. I've had family and friends that have committed suicide, but you know that you didn't used to hear of things like that, and it's becoming more prevalent in this world. And I think that too is because people are just living a lie. People are just not where they are, where they say they are not as happy as they want us to believe, and they're not sharing with us because I don't think we have this opening spirit and this opening heart, and we will allow people to come to us just as they are and still love them and not judge them, but at the same time help them. And, of course, this is if they want to be helped, because some people will just include you in their drama and want your sympathy and want you to dwell with them. I'm not for that. I don't have the energy or time to spend there, and I don't suggest anybody do that. So once you see that, run. Tell them I pray for you, I love you, and when you're ready, I'm always here. Poverty is another one. There seems to be a lot of poverty going on. We were, again, in Nashville for a wedding and had the opportunity to talk to a young man that was homeless or is homeless, and he was telling us that, you know, a lot of people that are homeless, something happened, a loss of a job, and we've all been there. You know, we're probably all a couple of paychecks away from that. If we lose our job, you know, if you don't have money saved up for, they say you should have it for at least a year, but that could be us. you know, and he was explaining his situation, and seemed like a very good guy, but just caught up in his circumstances. And we, you know, we talked to him, we blessed him, and we prayed for him, and he was just, he smiled, and he said, "This is the second time I've smiled today." He said another group of people that had made him smile, so to speak. But this is what's going on. And out of that, I thought how awesome he is. Not awesome that he's homeless, but he is homeless. And even in the midst of that, he's standing here talking to us, and he is smiling. He is still giving God glory, even in his circumstances, in the midst of his situation. I think that is powerful. Hopefully we will hear from him again, because we gave him our numbers, and he's in Nashville, and we're here. I don't know how much we could do, but if nothing else, we could pray for him, because that was our question. Can we pray for you? Is there anything that we could pray for you about? And he said, "I would love that," and took the time and stood there and talked and prayed. And so it was just awesome. But prayer, what I'm saying is prayer is significant in our lives. I want to hear again from you all. Are you all praying daily? If not, why? Is it something that you want to do and just feel like you don't have the time to do it? Do you feel that there's a need to pray? Personally, I God's word tells us to pray. Someone said, "Satan laughs at our tolling, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when he sees even the weakest saint on his or her knees praying." So to me, that says a lot. Again, God's word tells us in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, tells us several things. 16 tells us, "Be joyful always." That goes right back to the young man who was homeless. I mean, he didn't seem to have lost his joy. He seemed really okay spiritually. Of course, his circumstances and the situation is not, but spiritually he seemed okay. 1 Thessalonians 5:17 says, "Pray continually." 18 says, "Give thanks in all circumstances." All circumstances. "For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Well, as I shared with you earlier, as I was going through some things, I really remembered Romans 8:28, where it just says, "God causes all things to work together for the good to those who love him, to those who are called according to his purpose." And I had to remember, you know, that I do love God, and God knows that. So, yes, God does know your heart, but does that mean he does not expect work from us? Does that mean that he does not expect us to pray as he has instructed us to do? And if nothing else, Jesus prayed. So if Jesus felt the need that he had to pray in order to maintain and keep up at that time, then certainly I think that is enough for me to know that I certainly need to. So again, the word tells us to pray. James 5:16 tells us, you know, to confess our sins one to another and pray for each other, so that you may be healed, or we may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Again, it's giving us the tool. I think prayer is one of the most powerful tools that we can do to grow in Christ. Do we confess our sins one to another? No, as I said earlier, those things that I mentioned, I think we do just the opposite. We try to keep things under the rug, so to speak, and appear to be this perfect person. But the Bible tells us, confess our sins one to another and then pray for each other. Rather than praying for each other, I think when people come to us, we may stand there and we may talk to them and may pray with them at that time, but we leave and go, and there's some judgment, there's some condemnation, there's some gossiping and so forth, and it's made it come to a point where people don't share with us like they do. I think that's very prevalent in friendship and families, and just all around on in the workforce, just all around. And these are Christian people, so to speak, Christian people. So we have we have a lot of work to do as Christians, and I think it should start. My belief is it should start with prayer. Again, God's word tells us to pray. Jesus prayed, and I think that is the most, the best place to start. The lines are open. I'm going to check the chat line real quick just to make sure that I'm not missing anybody there. If you'll give me just a minute. Okay. Okay, we got a few things, but they're not questions. They're just comments. So I'll move forward with that. Again, chat line, the lines are open. So if you do have anything on prayer, if prayer has been a part of your life, if you've seen things answered, please share. I don't want to be the talker because, of course, I don't know it all, and I need prayer and I need help and your perspective as well. I can share with you, and most of you know that recently, a few months back, I think November, we started 4 a.m. prayer to where we were getting up praying every morning at 4 a.m. And it grew. We had people come on. I made some friendships through that with people that I probably would not have crossed my path had it not been for that 4 a.m. prayer. But as I said earlier in this statement where, and I don't know who actually quoted this, I probably should have looked it up, but Satan laughs at our tolling, mocks at our wisdom, but trembles when he sees the weakest saints on his or her knees. I say that because this 4 a.m. prayer was so awesome, and it was kind of like the 6 a.m. prayer that my friend and I were doing several years ago. But we allowed Satan to come in and really destroy that. And as I was going through this topic, I was reminded of that again, how, you know, people want to pray with people who are just like, who believe just like them or who thinks just like them. And I think that is so, I'm going to leave that alone. I just think that's wrong. I think that for me, and I shared this, I can pray. If what my comment was, if Satan called in on this line, I'm still gonna pray. I'm gonna pray because I know who I'm praying to. I know what I believe. It is not my duty or my job to convince you to believe exactly how I believe. I just think that is wrong. But because of that, this prayer group just diminished. We were praying. And we were actually getting to the point where we would talk about things and they would manifest. Like we would talk about, we'd be on the line and talk as well, not necessarily praying for them, but just talking about them. And we had begun to see things manifest. Now that was happening still at a time where everyone is not going to believe or think exactly like you do. And as I explained, you can go to your church. You can be in your church with your congregation and ask a question, and you will probably get several different answers. Although you are under the same teaching, you go to the same church, you have the same denomination. But prayer is powerful, again, because we were seeing things manifest. Now, as a group, we don't do that anymore. As a group, again, because we allowed it to fall apart because of ways that certain people felt that people should pray this way and not this way and say this and not that. But my question was, if that's the case, then why was God answering prayers? God's not concerned about how you feel or what we feel. He's going to honor that we are praying, that we are coming together in prayer. So, moving forward, I want to talk about faith, so I don't want to put too much more emphasis on prayer. There's a few things that I do want to get out, though. Recently, I heard a sermon preached. It was on a video here. Thankful to Pastor Bobby at Cornerstone Church here in Memphis. This was one of the most powerful sermons I've ever heard on prayer. You can look this up, and I really, really do recommend. So get your paper, get your pen now, and I'll repeat it again at the end of the show. You are able to look this up on YouTube, and that's just youtube.com. And the name of the sermon is My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer. Again, my house shall be called a house of prayer, and it's by Jim Cimbala. And Jim Cimbala is C-Y-M-B-A-L-A. Again, just for those of you, I want to make sure that you get it. It's called My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer, and it's by Jim Cimbala, and that's C-Y-M-B-A-L-A. And you'll need to key all of that in. When you pull up YouTube.com in your search box, you'll want to put My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer by Jim Cimbala, C-Y-M-B-A-L-A. This is, again, the most powerful sermon that I have heard on prayer. A few things that he talks about: when in trouble, pray. When persecuted, pray. When intimidated, pray. When challenged, pray. Talks about Jesus, you know, being in the temple, of course, saying that my Father's house shall be called a house of prayer. There's just so much emphasis put on how prayer has taken the back seat in our lives and in church. Certainly in church, we don't come together in groups, even monthly, you know, let alone weekly. And I can't help but think back to my childhood and think, for some time I thought, you know, things were really different back then. People were really different back then. But as I think, probably not so much. I think what was different is they prayed and they put God first more. So they were able to deal with things more. I think, when you do that, that God's peace, God's perspective, and his purpose takes over your life. And again, prayer has to be in order as well. That brings us to faith. Hebrews 11:16 tells us, but without faith it is impossible to please God. For if we come to God in prayer, then we must believe that he is, and that he is the reward of those who diligently seek him. And one way of seeking him is through prayer. Jesus also tells us that by prayer and faith, that we can move mountains, that we should, you know, the sick shall be healed. But so many people are sick, so many people are dying. But if you approach people today and say, hey, you know, let's go pray, because Mrs. Henderson is sick. First of all, I'm amazed at how many people don't want you to come pray for them. I literally had a friend that passed away who didn't want people to come and pray for her. And it wasn't that she didn't believe. She was like, I don't need them to pray for me. But, you know, if prayer, the word tells us, you know, prayer and faith can move mountains. If you talk about somebody, if you talk to someone today about, you know, we as saints should be able to move mountains, we should be able to walk on water, we should be able to heal the sick, they will probably look at you like you're crazy. People really do believe that things that happened in the Old Testament are not for the New Testament, that they think those are things that happened back then, people being healed, people, you know, things really happening. A lot of people think, and that's you're right. I personally believe that when we say that God's word is the same today, yesterday, and tomorrow, if we're saying that, then how can we say, or why would we say, maybe a better way to say that the Old Testament is just that, that we should be more focused on the New Testament. So faith, again, goes right in hand, and that's another reason why I wanted to really not go into the others. I wanted to really go through prayer and faith and allow you time this week to really focus on your life, hopefully to start even tonight, just going before God. And some people think that prayer has to be this practice. You have to practice and what you're going to say and how you're going to say it. If you don't know how to pray, or you feel like you just don't always get it right, start with that, talking to God, saying, God, I want to pray. I want to do better. I want to honor your word. I want to come before you daily. But I just really sometimes don't know what to say and how to say it. So go before God in worship and in praise, and then in prayer, and ask God to pray that you know how to pray or what to say. If you need a reason to pray, start praying for that. How do I pray? When do I pray? What do I pray? what do I say? And a lot of people, believe it or not, will stay away from prayer because they feel like, even especially in a group setting, a lot of people are just not comfortable with praying. And I think that's okay if you feel like you do better in your silent prayer. But if it's a fear of praying, then I think that's something that you should pray about in order to overcome it and move forward, because sometimes that's the work of Satan as well, keeping you in fear of praying, because we should not fear praying, especially in group settings. So one way to eliminate or assist in that is going before God in prayer, and certainly studying and reading God's word, because the more you read, the more you study, the more you know, and the more comfortable you feel. Think about, you know, taking a test. When I studied for a test in school or whatever, even with these shows, if I really get my study time in and the way that I want, I am really, really comfortable. But there are some days where I've had to scramble at the last hour and get some things going. I was totally out of order. I felt so uneasy because I didn't feel prepared, because I had not studied and really researched my topic and went before, did all that before coming to the show. So keep that in mind as well. Still, the lines are open, so guys, don't feel like you don't have anything to offer on this, because we all have something to share and we all have something to give, particularly on this topic on prayer and faith and life. And even if you don't have anything on prayer and faith, tell us what's going on in your life, what things you feel like are keeping you at a stagnant point or just stagnant in life, so to speak. So if there's something you're going through or something you've gone through, and if you've had certain situations that something you did worked for you, share that, because many of us, as I said earlier, are going through things that we're holding in. We're not sharing, so we're not talking about them. And in most cases, what you're going through, someone else is also going through that same thing. It's just that, again, we're not comfortable enough with sharing because of fear and because of how people have become today. We don't feel really comfortable with sharing what's going on in our lives. So the lines are open, and I welcome you all to come on and share. I want to give you a few more things about faith, and if we don't have any additional callers, I'll end it there. And then next week we'll move forward with family and love. I may include relationship in that as well, and just end it with fear on the next show. But for sure, family and love will be the next Monday's topic. I'm going to share a little bit before getting off the air about why I selected family, and maybe a little bit about why I selected the love topic as well. But as I mentioned, prayer without faith, well, prayer with faith can move mountains. And that we should be healing, we should be praying for the sick to be healed. And basically praying in faith means, you know, listening to God, listening to the right voice, the word of God, and not really focusing on circumstances, what you're going through, what you don't have, what you feel like you need. It's basically believing that God can, and that he will do what he says he will do in his word. And he simply tells us prayer with faith, we can move mountains. Now there's some things that come with even prayer and faith. I do believe that sometimes we can pray for things that are so out of the will of God. So we do need to make sure that we are in line with God, that we're becoming pursuing God, that to become more Christ-like, so that our desires are of him. You know, we so many of us think when we hear God will give you desires of your heart, that means if your heart is in sync with God, if we are becoming more Christ-like, then we're becoming more like him, which means the things that we want, things that we start to desire, our thoughts become his thoughts, our ways become his ways. So a lot of us, and myself included, are not there because we are not seeking God as we need to be in order to move in that level of experiencing God. So as you go through this week, as you hang up and get off the phone tonight, think about your prayer life. Think about your faith when you are praying. I know for me, there have been times I have prayed for something, and I go on about my life and my day when it happens. Like, my prayer is answered. And there are times when I'm just like, wow. You know, and if I'm really taken that my prayer is answered, then apparently I did not expect it to happen. Because there's a difference between being happy and rejoicing, but there are times where I'm just like, oh, it happened. You know, like, I just didn't expect it. But for God and His grace and His mercy. So think about, as you pray, are you expecting what you're praying for? And if you're not, is it really a need to pray? If you're not being honest with God and saying, because God knows, all those things we try to hide from people that really don't matter, what they think and what they see in you or see of you, it really doesn't matter. Because one thing I am sure of, God's not going to tell you to call so-and-so up here before I let you in. Let me see what so-and-so thinks. What do they think about you? What did they say about you? So the things that we try to hide from people, God knows them. The little lies that we tell, all the unforgiveness, the envy, the bitterness, all those things, God knows. God knows. I recently had someone to pass away, and someone, you know, in our family, and I must say that I was really, although this person was sick, I was still really, really taken by it. And it really made me, I shared this with my aunt, it really made me think about my life, that one of my aunts shared with me that God says, be ready, not to get ready, but be ready, because we don't know the hour, we don't know the day, we don't know the time. So as I thought about this person's death, being young, I thought about my own life, that if this was me, this hour, this day, and this time, would God be pleased with some of the things that are in my heart? The unforgiveness, that's turned into bitterness, all those things. What would God say to me when I met Him? What would He say? And I laid in bed, you know, all night, up all night, thinking, really just kind of disappointed in where I have allowed some things to take my heart. And I've allowed it because I know what God's word says. We've talked about unforgiveness on this show. We've talked about so many things that all this brings up. And so that's why it's very important to me for you all to know I am no better than you. I struggle with things. I go through things. I come on here and I can talk about them because I go through them and because I'm struggling with them. It does help me. Every topic, I'm amazed that it seems like I changed this topic, I don't know how many times, but it seems like at the hour that God needs to do it, He says, this is it. I finally get some peace that, okay, this is it. And that's where I go. But what I've found is it is so helpful to me. I think I'm giving to you all, but it is so helpful to my spirit and my growth, and it shows me areas that I am struggling in and that I am weak in. So, again, this is as much for me as it is you. I think having you on listen is just gravy to it. It just brings that much more because we have some of you on that have never missed a show, and I am so thankful for that, and it means that because this is not a show that's a feel-good show. It's not jokes. It's not drama. It's not those things that make people come in numbers. Very few people that's in life, people are not drawn to things that will help them grow. They're drawn to drama. They're drawn to things that just keep us in bondage. It's like we search or we long for the drama. We long for the lies. We long for anything that will make us feel better about ourselves. I shared with you that a young girl told me that she reads these stories in this, I can't even think of the magazine now, but it's the one that kind of reports all anything in something. I can't think of the name of it, but she said she reads those type of things because it makes her feel better about herself. And I just remember feeling so bad about that because she's a wife, she's a mom, and beautiful inside, outside. And I thought how painful that must be to feel the need to be drawn to things like that in order to feel better about yourself. But people, it is happening by the numbers. It is happening by the numbers, and it's happening daily, hourly. So prayer and faith, I cannot say enough about prayer and faith. As I said earlier, you know, as we see God, John 15:7 says, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Listen to that. That's if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. A lot of us, I think, are praying, and our prayer seems to be not answered, I guess, because our lack of fellowship with God and His Word. Because again, it takes work. We have some things that we are accountable for as Christians, or whatever your faith is. We are accountable for some things that we are just not living up to. So Jesus said, if we remain in His fellowship and allow His Word to remain in us, we would produce, our prayers would produce results. So if things are not happening, either they're one or two reasons, because we're not asking, we're not praying, we're not going before God, or our lives, our spiritual lives, our fellowship with God is lacking. Okay, so that alone gives me enough to think about. And I think what God is telling us is that we as Christians should, or whatever your denomination is, we should, our desires should be manifesting. We should be healing the sick. We should be praying for the sick. They should be healed. Because one thing has really stayed with me as well, is, and this has been in the last few years, someone told me that in all that we do, we should do to bring glory to God. So if we are praying and praying for people to be healed, and they are healed, and we're praying for God to get that glory, God's going to grant that glory. So what are we doing? And as I thought about what all is going on, what's really going on, I can't help but wonder if all this would be going on if we were really some praying people and praying with faith and expectation. Would it be going on? Would as much be going on? And if so, how would we be dealing with it? Would it still make us, all those things that I named, would we be going through divorce? You know, there's the program that I ask you guys to look at or to listen to, you know, this pastor tells us that there's so many books about marriage and divorce. Of all these books, we still have look at the rate on divorce. So are they working? You know, are they working? Childbearing, you know, look at our children. There's so many books. It takes more than reading books. It takes action. It takes prayer. It takes faith. It takes movement. A lot of us want to pray and do nothing. Prayer without works is no different than prayer without faith. So that's bringing it to a close. I mentioned to you that I was going to share with you how I came up with the family and love. And I think what I want to focus on more is family. I recently went to my family reunion Easter weekend, and this is something that takes place every weekend and has been taking place since I was a young girl. But I have not gone in quite a while until this year. And I felt, you know, I had planned on going anyway, but I really, really felt the need to just really go and not miss it. And it's amazing how connected I felt at there, and how connected I felt after leaving. And I could only think about what God intended for families, how He intended the family structure to be with the mother and the father and the children, and that way, you know, and even extended family, your sisters, your aunts, your uncles, how he intended that to be and how much different life would be if that family structure was what God intended it to be. How much more support we would have, how much more love we would have for one another, because I think a lot of these kids feel like if my family doesn't love me, if my dad doesn't love me, if my mother doesn't love me, then how much can I expect from society? How much can I expect from anybody? So after feeling the need to go and just wanting to be in the midst of that, I did not have any idea of what it would do and how life-changing it would be. And there were family members that I found out I have a family member right here in Memphis that I knew nothing about. I have family members in Atlanta that I, really, to be honest, that I had totally forgotten that they existed. And they meant so much to me back then. So it's like I stayed away for so long for, you know, reasons of my own, you know, stuff, but it was just, it made such a difference, the connection. So I'm sure people, you know, right here on this phone probably have family right here in Memphis. I mean, I probably could say the same thing myself, that you've not seen, you know, or talked to in weeks. So I chose that family, and, of course, love ties right into that as well. So that's what we will talk about next week. Family and love, and then what I want to give you again is go back over the what I gave you on the My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer by Jim Cimbala. You can put youtube.com and then in the search engine, My House Shall Be Called a House of Prayer by Jim Cimbala, C-Y-M-B-A-L-A. That is very important. I think that you all should listen to that, and after you listen, please be willing to share on that next week, and then also be willing to share what the prayer and the faith did for you as you moved forward in this week, the rest of this week. If you've not been praying, please do so. You know, get up and give God that first thought, that first request. That Thanksgiving. If nothing else, thank you, God, for waking me today. Prepare me for this day. This is the day that the Lord has made. When I was working with the little kids, that's something that I worked at a church school, so we were able to do that. But we would have them say daily, this is the day that the Lord has made. You know, we're going to rejoice and be glad in it. For nothing else, you know, that we are on this side of the earth and we have another day, another time, and another opportunity to move forward, make it right, deal with our issues and things that we're going through. So I hope that this has blessed someone tonight. You guys were very quiet. You're out there. I see you listening, and I hope that you're quiet because you have taken something from this. I hope that it will change your prayer life. I hope that it will make you think about your prayer life and your faith. I hope that if your church does not have prayer night, I hope that you will be encouraged to talk to your pastor and say, you know, let's think about adding prayer to our church life, even if it's once a month where you come together as a congregation. But again, God says that, or Jesus says, my Father's house should be called the house of prayer. And I think if we were doing more of that, then things would be a whole lot different, that we would be dealing with less things because God would be more in control. We'll be giving it over to him. And for those things that are not, we would have more peace about going through them and understanding God's peace, his perspective and his purpose for our life. And that is the objective for tonight's show and going forward, is to bring God's peace, God's perspective and his purpose in your life. And once you do that, I think you will see life change. So, again, just one more time before we go, I'm going to check the chat line, and then I want you all to know that we still have the lines open. So if you don't have any, if you do have anything, go ahead and select the number one now. If you don't, then we're going to just close out. Please, please remember to take some time and go listen to that sermon on YouTube. You can pull it up anytime, and it's there. You can go back and listen, you know, pick up where you left off if you don't want to listen to the entire part of it. But please go back and listen to that, because it is such a blessing and brings such such perspective to praying and why we should pray. So no one has selected the number one, so I'm going to go ahead and end tonight's show. Again, thank you all for listening. I hope that you tune in to next Monday's show as we talk about family and love. We will maybe, just depending on how much detail I get in preparing for that show, we may try to go ahead and talk about the relationship part as well. If not, then we'll include the relationship into fear. Go ahead and start thinking about what family means to you, what things you wish were different in your family, and how can you make those things different in love as well. How do you love? How do you receive love? Are you afraid of love? Or, you know, do you just want to stay away from love? And that's even within families, that's with personal relationships and commitment and so forth. So start thinking about those things for next week's show. If this show has blessed you, remember that all shows are out for listening. They're archived so that you can listen to them anytime, and that's by logging on to the site, www.blogtalkradio.com/butterfly evolution. You can please do share the show with people. Have them to go out and listen. If you feel that someone is struggling in some areas, prayer may be a great suggestion to them. But be sure, if you're suggesting it, be sure that you're doing it so that the excitement and the glory of it shows in your life and in you experiencing God and experiencing life in a different way. And I think that's one of a good thing that we can do as well as people, is allow people to see God shine in us and through us. I know I've come across people that I used to think, if this is what this is about, I might as well keep doing what I'm doing for a while. I got some time. And I don't want to be that type of person, and no one should want to be that type of person. I learned that there's a book called When Bad Christians Happen to Good People. And I got that on my list of books to read. It'll be some time because I'm in the midst of reading others. But, again, it's When Bad Christians Happen to Good People. So very interesting title, and one that I really can't wait to get in and read. Do something good for yourself. That reminds me, I'm sorry, you guys, I wanted to share one more thing with you, and I am going to do that, and I hope that you guys give me just a few minutes. This is, I came across a site, and it's 30 things to do, to stop doing to yourself. And this kind of goes into all that we've talked about, but certainly with having people dealing with self-esteem, lack of self-love. And it's 30 things. I'm not going to give you all 30 of them. What I'm going to do is, as I go through the shows, particularly these, I'm just going to give a few at a time. Number one, stop spending time with the wrong people. We said that quite a bit. You know, evaluate your inner circle, the people you are spending your time with, the people that you are giving your time to. Think about that. And it goes into more detail. This site is markandangel.com is where you can find this. So you can visit all 30 of them. So it's markandangel.com. And Mark is M-A-R-C and A-N-D, angel.com. Stop spending time with the wrong people. Number two, stop running from your problems. Number three, stop lying to yourself. Number four, stop putting your own needs on the back burner. I think that is a very important one. I think you should be first in your life. That's the only way you can give to other people, if you are putting yourself first and very happy and very in love with you. So number five, stop trying to be someone that you're not. I will probably go more into detail of those five next week. But again, real quickly, you can find that at Mark, M-A-R-C, and angel.com. You're going to have to spell and out, A-N-D. Real quickly, those are stop spending time with the wrong people, stop running from your problems. Number three, stop lying to yourself. Number four, stop putting your own needs on the back burner. And number five, stop trying to be someone that you are not. And start praying and start having faith. And with that, I am going to end tonight's show. Again, thank you all for listening, and I hope to hear from you next week or see you back on next week, 8 o'clock Central Standard Time. Again, thank you, and you guys have a blessed night.